I work with youth and young adults. And one thing that is especially critical, I believe, to Black communities and to church communities is to recognize the importance of Black youth and their voices. But I think a lot of times, one of the problems that hinders, kind of a generational gap, that hinders Black communities from being in conversation in a meaningful way with Black youth is that oftentimes Black youth are not understood, their voices are not understood. And a lot of that has to do with not really understanding the context that Black youth, especially people born after 1965, are coming out of societally. And a lot of that does have to do with the hip-hop culture, what we see today in our commercials and in our music and in the lifestyles that our young people are imitating and perpetuating. And so for me, this is just not merely an academic interest, but this is something that's very real that I'm experiencing on every Wednesday night when I move into, you know, the youth services we have, and over 95% of those students sitting there are in some way reflective of hip-hop culture, whether that's through dress, through language, through speech, and the like. And so I'll go ahead and just present my paper. Towards a Theology of Hip-Hop, a Prophetic Response to Black Youth Voices. I was born in the Bronx. I've been known to cause controversy. I make billions of dollars a year, and I'm very, very popular. What am I? I am the famous or infamous movement, depending on who's talking, called hip-hop. Over 40 years ago, the phrase hip-hop did not exist, but has presently become a prevailing term that defines the worldview of a new Black youth culture. Those that stand in opposition to hip-hop have noted the significant social impact it has had on the demeanor of modern youth, particularly Black youth. The sometimes egoistic attitudes often portrayed in the lyrics and videos of certain hip-hop artists have repeatedly shown negative effects on some of their idolizing fans. While these attitudes do not represent the entire hip-hop community, very often youth adopt the much glamorized gangster persona, subscribing to a certain unproductive philosophy of life that includes crime, violence, misogyny, and monetary greed. As a result, a common effect of hip-hop has been the creation and maintenance of a dangerous subculture that venerates antisocial behavior. To the contrary, for its passionate adherence, both young and old, hip-hop's avenue for expression has been a more unconventional way for making visible poverty, crime, and the underside of Black life in efforts to form programs of political resistance and action. Hip-hop groups like Nas belie equating hip-hop culture with violence and negativity. For many people, hip-hop continues to be integral to crafting forms of resistance and empowerment for minorities who are oppressed by capitalistic, racially discriminating systems. When assessing the proponents and opponents' perspectives on hip-hop, one can see that hip-hop has become a mode of expression for youth of today that can be both constructive and destructive. Consequently, religious scholars and church practitioners are beginning to affirm the development of a hip-hop theology that can respond prophetically to the destructive tendencies this hip-hop phenomenon often engenders. These scholars and church leaders ask, how can hip-hop theology respond prophetically to the negative effects hip-hop often produces, adversely affecting Black youth? While this paper does not seek nor can realistically assume the responsibility of constructing a hip-hop theology as such, this paper will intimate under what conditions a hip-hop theology can be developed in order to be a prophetic voice in contemporary youth cultures, particularly Black youth culture. And I say contemporary youth cultures, plural, because hip-hop is just not something characteristic or unique to Black youth culture, but it's something that has cross-cultural appearance, certainly has affected young people across the board. Before this paper suggests under what conditions a hip-hop theology should be developed, this paper will first turn to the redemptive origins of hip-hop, and second, outline some major socio-political forces that have shaped today's Black youth and hip-hop culture. It is first important to note the redemptive origins of hip-hop.
Beginning with Afrika Bambaataa and the Zulu Nation, hip-hop was a form of social and political empowerment for at-risk urban black youth. In a 1991 interview, Afrika Bambaataa, also known as BAM, proffered some serious insight into the emergence of hip-hop and rap music. He went into detail about the formation of the Zulu Nation. Specifically, he explained that the Zulu Nation was, quote, former gang members who reformed and channeled their energies into breakdancing, unquote. Moreover, he told how the emergence of hip-hop culture curtailed gang violence in New York because it offered young people a viable activity. BAM also spoke about the, quote, inherent politicalness of hip-hop, unquote, acknowledging his own activity in the anti-apartheid struggle and civil rights movement through songs, lyrics, and concerts that helped raise money and support for these social movements. Messages of love, peace, anti-racism, and human uplift resonated among the hip-hop community in the 1970s. For BAM, hip-hop was a cultural movement of consciousness raising and empowerment rather than a commercial movement of material success. The hip-hop phenomenon was motivating as it related to race relations, class interests, and nationhood for the black community, which offered possibilities for black youth concerning personal improvement as well as social change and transformation. However, hip-hop shifted in its social orientation from visions of social justice and empowerment to visions that included rugged individualism and material gain. What brought about these changes in hip-hop? In order to understand the changes that took place in hip-hop, one must investigate the socio-political forces that faced black youth born after 1965. Issues such as growing unemployment, a post-segregation America, a global economy, and more has influenced the career choices, relationships, education, music, politics, activism, and worldview of today's black youth. Bakari Kitwana intimates a shift between the worldview of the previous generation of black parents and the worldview of black youth today. Kitwana describes the values that constituted the worldview of the previous generation of black parents, values which emphasize the importance of family, faith, and social awareness and involvement towards the justice needed to make America's democratic experiment possible. The previous black generation's worldview possessed a relational ethos. Parents valued being in relationship with their own communities and even other communities in order to enact an understanding of faith as social responsibility and social justice. Moreover, black parents internalized values and identities from previous generations that privileged and prioritized communal values towards progress and flourishing. However, the present generation of black youth born after 1965 possesses a worldview that has been characterized by different values and even at times opposing values. Radical individualism and personal success have been the idolizing ideals of youth in our contemporary capitalistic America. These ideals have become integral to the worldview of black youth, which has shaped narcissistic attitudes and mentalities focused on personal material success and social recognition at the expense of communal goals committed to the human uplift of society. Moreover, the global economy's commercialization of products has caused many black youth to turn to designer clothing, television programs, automobiles, and more for values and identity. Consequently, hip-hop inevitably began to reflect the worldview of some of its material-seeking MCs, DJs, and rap artists, disclosing an increasingly alienated black youth culture. Yet what factors led to the emergence of this alienated worldview among black youth? Among many factors, this paper will outline four major socio-political forces that have influenced this generation's way of viewing the world, which has unquestionably impacted hip-hop culture. A first socio-political force that has shaped the current worldview of black youth was the effects of a global economy. One impact of globalization was the widening division between the haves and the have-nots. Some experts identify the loss of jobs in urban areas due to jobs being transferred to the suburbs and overseas. As a result, low economic and social morale became constitutive of Black youth culture, in which many young Blacks became disillusioned by the absence of job opportunities. Kidwana notes, quote, during the intervening period of the 1980s and 1990s, young Blacks faced the realities of rising rates of unemployment, reliance on the underground economy, particularly the crack cocaine explosion of the 1980s, and the simultaneous boom in incarceration rates. The great contrast between the positive and negative outgrowths of this new global economy has heavily influenced the values, lifestyles, and worldview of young Blacks, unquote. Fueled by globalization, unemployment led to growing poverty rates and hence a rise in crime among Black youth. The global economy engendered an experience of poverty among many young Blacks who were simultaneously told about the American dream in a land of opportunity. This effect of globalization alongside America's political ideal of opportunity, quote unquote, forced Black youth to name America as hypocritical and insincere, which has created a pessimistic worldview for young Blacks who found themselves simply in a community of have-nots. If Things Done Change, rap artist Notorious B.I.G. said, if I wasn't in the rap game, I'd probably have a knee deep in the crack game. Because the streets is a shortstop. Either you slinging crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. Mm-hmm. A second socio-political force that has shaped the current worldview of Black youth has been persisting institutional segregation and exclusion. Yeah. While the ideal of integration is preached as having been actualized by the civil rights movement in America, countless racial obstacles persist in critical areas where Blacks continue to be discriminated against. Kitwana notes, quote, young Blacks are twice as likely to be unemployed as their white counterparts. Young Blacks with similar skills, experience, and educational backgrounds continue to be paid less than whites for the same jobs. More so than any other racial or ethnic group, African Americans remain segregated from whites in housing. These obstacles in the face of lip service to human rights and democracy foster resentment among young Blacks. Inevitably, the contradictions of these racial double standards are embedded in their worldview. Kidwana rightly assesses that the continued presence of economic and social discrimination has led to apathy and indifference among many Black youth in America. This apathy is readily seen in the lyrics and messages of rap artists who castigate the system for its pretension and duplicity concerning equality and opportunity. The pessimism and distrust of the American way and dream, along with an impoverished existence, has led many Black youth to engage in subversive activity as a way of protesting America's own internal contradictions, inconsistencies, and injustices. However, this subversive action as protest sometimes included illegal or illicit activity, which rap music often named as the only alternative or viable way to an oppressive system. A third socio-political force that has shaped current young Blacks' worldview has been the deliberate, intentional targeting of Black youth for criminal behavior by legislative activity and law enforcement. Foremost, beginning in 1982, the Reagan administration and its quote-unquote war on drugs launched an anti-drug effort that shifted from rehabilitation of drug offenders to the punishment of drug offenders. This shift from rehabilitation to punishment of drug offenders was racially motivated due to the particular controversial aspects of these anti-drug laws. The greatest controversial aspect was the disparity in sentencing between crack cocaine and powder cocaine users. Quote, offenders convicted of crimes involving as little as 5 grams of crack cocaine received a minimum of 5 years in prison. For a powder cocaine offender to receive a similar sentence, the crime would have to involve nearly 100 times that amount, unquote. This disparity possessed a racial bias because most Black cocaine users were crack cocaine users due to the low cost of crack. In addition, while the National Institute on Drug and Abuse noted that by 1990, most crack cocaine users were white, 90% of those convicted in federal court of crack cocaine crimes were black. Moreover, from the Rodney King beating to the shooting death of 19-year-old Timothy Thomas of Cincinnati, black youth continue to watch in horror as black people endure incidents of brutality and murder that are often legitimated as justifiable homicides. Christian Perini also asserts that this current style of policing has led to the rise of police brutality, especially towards persons of color. Unquestionably, this collapse of trust in law enforcement, alongside the criminalizing and vilification of black youth, has led to the development of an antagonistic worldview among many young blacks. A fourth and final sociopolitical force that has influenced young blacks' worldview has been the media representations of blackness.
Yes.
Mike Gray notes that these media representations were crucial to selling America on the war on drugs during the Reagan administration. Quote, the media in the 1980s got hooked on the drug war itself. A surveillance van with a hidden camera can park on a street in Harlem, but it has no access to the Chicago Yacht Club or the ladies' room at Don Tana's in West Hollywood. As a result, the drug war footage showing up as the nightly news focused almost exclusively on the urban street scene. And though the vast majority of drug users have always been white, the people doing drugs on TV were black and Hispanic. Okay. When a couple of researchers from the University of Michigan spotted this phenomenon, they discovered that from 1985 onward, the number of whites shown using cocaine dropped by 60%, and the number of blacks shown using cocaine rose by the same amount, unquote. Televised images of blacks being largely responsible for drug usage and criminal activity became common. These media images often presented a false association, blackness and criminality. Media representations delineated blackness as criminal, aggressive, and destructive. Consequently, these representations shaped the worldview of many black youth. These images prompted many black youth to internalize and interpret their impoverished economic and social situations through the lens of media representations of blackness. Of course, blackness being criminal and deviant, over-sexual, for that matter.
Yeah.
These representations had a profound impact on how young blacks in the middle to lower class strata interpreted themselves and their surroundings. While these four sociopolitical forces do not exhaust the plurality of factors that have shaped the worldview of today's black youth, these forces offer a brief departure point in trying to understand black youth voices of today and the hip-hop culture they find themselves a part of. As stated, this hip-hop culture possesses not only constructive possibilities, but also destructive tendencies. Yet how can black communities and churches address the destructive tendencies of hip-hop in order to promote productive, life-giving worldviews for black youth? How might a hip-hop theology reclaim the redemptive origins of hip-hop in order to affirm and empower black youth? Ephraim Smith and Phil Jackson's The Hip-Hop Church, Connecting with the Movement Shaping Our Culture, suggests that faith communities must see connecting with the hip-hop culture as an opportunity rather than opposition. Because hip-hop has thoroughly saturated not only black youth culture, but also most youth cultures, communities of faith must begin to critically assess how they can come into conversation with this movement in order to productively listen to youth voices and help guide these youth towards meaningful, life-giving futures. Other texts, such as Anthony Penn's Noise and the Spirit, The Religious and Spiritual Sensibilities of Rap Music, and Michael Eric Dyson's Holler If You Hear Me, Searching for Tupac Shakur, also suggest the need to create discourse between religious institutions, spiritualities, and hip-hop culture. Moreover, these texts also demonstrate the theological perspectives and implications of hip-hop music. For example, Michael Eric Dyson argues that the theological implication of Tupac Shakur's music and message allows one to see how inextricably intertwined hip-hop and religion have been, which suggests positive alliances between hip-hop and religion in order to prophetically and positively speak to black youth today. While some hip hop literature has focused on potentially fruitful conversations between religion and the hip hop movement, very little scholarly work has been done on carving out a hip hop theology that is thoroughly attentive to theological categories of God, self, community, humanity, experience, and more. As stated, while this paper does not seek nor can realistically assume the responsibility of constructing a hip hop theology, this paper does seek to intimate under what conditions a hip hop theology can be developed in order to prophetically respond to black youth voices. I would like to suggest three conditions that can aid in the development of a hip hop theology. A beginning condition that can aid in the construction of a hip hop theology involves grounding hip hop theology in a program of liberation. Hip hop theology must be defined, described, and interpreted in light of liberative praxis. A program of liberation privileges a God who sides with oppressed and marginalized groups with one emphatic demand: the holistic liberation and freedom of those under oppression. As stated, many black youth continue to experience social, political, economic, and spiritual oppression from exploitative systems. When hip-hop theology is grounded in a project of liberation, the experiences of black youth are privileged in thinking through, discussing, and enacting justice responses to the many injustices young blacks endure. The goal of hip-hop theology would be the liberation of black youth from oppressive systems, enabling black youth to experience more productive, meaningful futures. Moreover, hip-hop theology as a liberation theology would acknowledge the personal and structural character of this oppression, which means that a hip-hop theology would identify and prioritize the structural character of political and socioeconomic oppression facing black children and youth in order to positively and proactively craft justice responses. For example, a specific injustice that black children and youth face on a daily basis includes the problem of poor, deficient urban educational school systems. Urban school systems that are majority African American tend to be economically underfunded, poorly staffed in terms of teachers, characteristic of shoddy infrastructure, and possessing low morale among teachers and administrators. Another injustice that black children face includes poor health care and an absence of a living wage for their primary caretakers, which directly affects these children's ability to survive and flourish. These injustices are systemic and entail justice responses at the structural level. A hip-hop theology would not only name these injustices black youth and the larger community experience at a systemic level, but also name justice responses and actions that can combat such salient oppression. A second condition that can shape a hip-hop theology includes teaching and promoting inner self-worth, dignity, and determination of black youth. Many black youth turn to a gangster interpretation of life because they are seeking belonging and community. In a world that marginalizes and diminishes the self-worth, and constructive capacities and capabilities of many black people, being a part of a gangster underworld that moves black youth from the margin to the center is appealing. These youth seek self-worth and dignity, and the gangster persona and lifestyle of rap music offers them this worth and dignity through a sense of belonging and community. However, the images and representations of blackness as criminal, aggressive, overly sexual, and much rap music have been internalized by many black youth, which has instead given them destructive conceptions of self-worth. When black youth are brought into conversation with a theological vision that communicates constructive conceptions of self-worth and self-determination, they will develop a healthier self-image and identity. One specific program that has sought to cultivate self-worth, self-determination, and even self-love that we've been talking about throughout the last 2 days is the program Nubian Youth out of New York, New York. This program is established for at-risk youth who have few opportunities. The goal of Nubian Youth is to bolster black youth's confidence and self-worth through community involvement, personal goals, cultural events, and reclamation of black history. This program seeks to prophetically respond to black youth who are locked in vicious cycles of poverty. Teaching and promoting self-worth and self-determination of Black youth are central to crafting a hip-hop theology that communicates a theological vision of self-worth and self-love and worth in light of the divine. Nubian Youth seeks to move Black youth from the margin to the center so that these youth might discover belonging and community. A final condition that can shape a hip-hop theology includes Black church communities becoming proactive and participatory in making room for a hip-hop theology. Black churches should become intentional about offering and affirming possibilities towards the fashioning of a hip-hop theology that offers a theological vision of liberation and empowerment for Black youth. For example, allowing Black youth to express certain elements of hip-hop culture, such as dress and language, while rapping or singing about positive, life-giving messages, allow Black youth to constructively re-articulate their hip-hop identity. This re-articulation of identity in light of hip-hop theology can also enable the rise of the hip-hop intellectual. The hip-hop intellectual is a Black young person who learns how to deconstruct and reject hip-hop songs and lyrics that promote disrespect and destruction of life instead of flourishing of life. The hip-hop intellectual learns how to deconstruct destructive elements of hip-hop, uncovering deadly alliances between hip-hop and crime, hip-hop and violence, hip-hop and misogyny, and more. Black churches can offer one form in which the hip-hop intellectual can be fashioned and affirmed in efforts of making Black youth more critical of certain songs, lyrics, and messages within hip-hop culture. Black youth must be taught how to critically think about hip-hop and themselves, and a hip-hop theology can contribute towards that critical thinking process. Black churches can aid in the flourishing of a hip-hop theology and the hip-hop intellectual by becoming one form in which Black youth are free and liberated to explore what it means to be young, a hip-hopper, and empowered. These three conditions by no means exhaust what conditions are needed in order to construct a meaningful, dynamic hip-hop theology. Yet these conditions intimate what is needed in making hip-hop theology prophetic in character in order to respond to Black youth and the present crises that plague our youth. The possibilities of a hip-hop theology should remind Black communities and even Black churches that it is in our best interest to cultivate a hip-hop generation of leaders. Black youth are not merely our future, but our today. Who they are, what they stand for, and how they conceptualize life and the future impacts the strides we make as Black communities, churches, and society at large. Thank you.